Hey guys, thanks for coming back this week and healing with me. I just want to thank everyone for listening to last week's episode. And if you love that episode, you are going to be over the moon for this one. Make sure you get comfortable, grab your favorite glass of wine, pop open your favorite bag of chips, and just listen. Once you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to the Instagram page that is listed in the podcast episode description and tell me what you think. Tell me how you feel. Tag your friends and discuss. So I told you guys that every other episode would be a what would you do? So today's episode is about what would you do? And the topic is online dating, since it's so relevant in dating in today's time. I also promised you guys features. So our very first feature is going to be on today's episode, and it will be Sam. If you don't know Sam, you need to stop, pause, reevaluate your life, and go listen to my last episode so you can see what I tried to do for Sam and how it didn't really work out. But let's get into this episode of what would you do? So since we're going to be talking about online dating, let me just say where I stand on it. So I do dibble and dabble in the world of online dating, which can be DMing someone on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or even downloading apps like Tinder, Bumble, OkCupid, etc., etc., etc. When I say dibble dabble, I mean sporadically, intermittently, because the people that I come in contact with on these apps, when they say they got more fish in the sea, them, that's not the fish they be talking about, because some of the people that I converse with, they ghost, they just don't respond, or they look like they won't sleep on my sofa and drive my car while I'm at work, and that's just not going to work for me. Now, I will say I do know a lot of couples that are dating seriously, married, engaged, that have met their significant others on many of these sites. So if it works for you, you need to give your girl some tips, because it doesn't work for me. Now, don't get me wrong, y'all. Even though most of my online dating in general experiences have been dead end, I have learned a few great lessons and had a few great experiences from people that I've met online. I will give you one example of each just to keep it brief, because I know y'all ready to hear Sam. Gotta say it like the past time. I'm not gonna hold y'all today. But one great experience, me and this guy had gotten along really well. We were texting, we were FaceTiming, we'd met and had like a few light dates, and eventually we agreed that, yeah, you know, we actually do like each other, let's see where this can go. So he planned this really nice date in downtown Baton Rouge for us. He was like, get dressed, get all dressed up, wear your heels. It was beautiful, y'all. And it'll probably be a while before anyone takes me on another one of those dates, because you know how it's going for your girl. It ain't. But I think that he thought he was ready for something more serious, and when it presented itself, he wasn't. So that's why we didn't work out. Another guy, we went on another great date, and it was one of those dates where it's like, you ready to go home or you want to go do something else? And it just didn't end, like, but you didn't want it to end. It was one of those dates. I will say, though, on the date, he did continue to express how over his two exes he was. And he pretty much told me everything about them except for their social security number. So in my head, I'm like, this ain't done. He ain't done. So we did agree that we definitely had a vibe. We planned a second date. The second date fell through for whatever reason. The vibe kind of started to change. I'd asked him about it and he denied it. And then maybe like a few days later, he was on his Instagram story with one of those exes at one of the places that he took me on our date. But, you know, it's fine, because I expected it. I just wish he would have been honest. And that experience with him taught me that you have to be intentional when dating, whether you're dating someone you met in person or whether you're dating online, but dating online especially. Because you have to look inside yourself and say, do I want something serious or am I looking to have fun? And whichever one of those you want is fine. You just have to be honest with yourself about it so you could be honest with other people and you're not misleading them, and you'll attract more people that want that exact same thing. And in turn, that decreases the amount of baggage someone is left with because they want it more or less than you. For me, being intentional is letting someone know I am looking for someone consistent that I can get to know and possibly build something with. I'm not trying to sleep with you right now. I'm not trying to have you over to my apartment and chill. You know, court me. Do me like your grandpa did your grandma. You know what I'm saying? Well, don't do me like your grandpa did your grandma, because you know grandpa was a rolling stone. But court me, okay? Now, without further ado, I would like to introduce our guest for today's podcast, Sam.
Hi, everybody. This is Sam. Well, I guess the way I feel about online dating is kind of hit or miss. I am currently seeing someone that I met while I was kind of going through something. And I don't even know if this site is around anymore, but I met him on Black People Meet, and he was the first guy that I went on a date with, and he actually is pretty cool. We moved a little fast in the relationship, but in the midst of us trying to kind of get the relationship off the ground, he moved away because a job that he took him out of state. We continued to be friends, but his idea of what he wanted the relationship to be was kind of different from what I wanted. He wanted an open relationship, and I tried it for a little while, but I just wasn't comfortable with it, and it wasn't working out so well for me. So we kind of went away from each other, and I talked to him as a friend, and now he's back in my life. And the next guy I met, he's really cool. He wrote me poetry. He did all the things that he did everything right. He talked right. And I think that's where I make my mistake. I am a vocabulary person. So when people talk to me and you use the right words and you can put a sentence together in the correct way,
that is just beautiful.
Then I love it. And this guy, he's actually not a bad guy. And he traveled, didn't really work out. And then I found out that my friend who I met on Black People Meet was moving back home. So everybody else was like dropped like a hot potato.
Tunnel vision.
Because he is back and he's still pretty cool. And it's just me. And he's still saying, I will always be his sweetheart. Nobody will ever take my place. And it will be us until the end. And I feel for the most part that he is looking out for me. And he does encourage me to step outside of the box. And I do need that type of encouragement in my life.
I
love it.
I want one of them.
Otherwise, I feel like I'm just like, boring old Sam. But he really brings out the party girl in me. So I'm loving it right now.
Well, that is great, girl.
Okay, so let's get to the scenario, the whole reason behind the what would you do. So this particular scenario, it's a 35-year-old man talking about his 36-year-old male best friend who is dating this 34-year-old woman that he met online. Let's get started. I'm going to read it in his point of view. I feel like I'm losing my best friend. About 4 months ago, my best friend from childhood started talking to this 34-year-old woman he met on OkCupid. She sent him pictures and she's stunning. She tells him she has only been with one other guy, but she's a virgin. That's how that works now. She also says that she's a vegan just like him, plays the same sports as him, was a nurse practitioner, and recently got her license to practice medicine as an MD. And most fishy of all, she won't even video chat with him. They were supposed to meet in person a couple months ago, But she took a trip out of town, and all of a sudden, her dad had a stroke and her mom got cancer within a month of each other. So she went across the country to take care of them. She says she doesn't want to video chat because she wants the first time they meet to be special. And she's old-fashioned like that. Allegedly, she's from the Philippines and says that she's very traditional. I told him to at least ask her to take a picture of herself with a date or his name or something as proof. And he told me her camera broke on her cell phone. He wants to take her for her word until he meets her and sees her for himself. So she apparently got a job as a doctor at the same hospital her dad is staying at. I know what you're saying. Call the hospital and confirm that there's no doctor by that name working there, right? Well, the hospital she used to be at when she was nearby, I called in and asked if someone with her name worked there and got no name. But she told my friend that she works for an agency that places doctors. She's like a traveling doctor that can go from one hospital to the next. And that's why they didn't have her name in the registry. They talk on the phone and text 24/7. They go to sleep on the phone together. They wake up together and they continue talking. He's definitely in a committed relationship with some female on the other end, but I have no idea what's going on. It's surreal. They've already planned to move in together, have kids, etc. I keep trying to tell him to open his eyes, go meet her, but he doesn't want to do it without her permission. He told me he's actually fallen in love with her, and I feel like he almost doesn't want to crush the vision, and I'm really worried for him. He even told me that if she's been lying, he'd still give her a chance if she explains herself. They tell each other they love each other all the time. They're constantly texting, I miss yous, I love yous, but they haven't even met. It's so bizarre. Now, Sam, what would you do in that situation? And do you have any type of catfishing story that you would like to share? I'm going to go after Sam, you guys.
Basically, I would actually try to talk to my friend first and kind of get an idea where they are in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And how far do they see the relationship going.
Mm-hmm.
And if possible, without any hurt feelings or trying to hurt feelings, gently try to coax them to say, hey, maybe you need to rethink this.
Mm-hmm.
And try to convince this person that you're dating online, look, I need to talk to you, or we need to video chat, or give them an ultimatum.
Honey, you know these people be blind in love. Okay, they will cut out their dead ancestors for some love. So, let's take it even further. You are browsing on your favorite online dating app, and boom, you see your very close friend's significant other. What do you do?
It depends on what type of friendship we have. Because I wouldn't want to put myself in the middle of a situation where, yeah, you're my close friend, but are you the type of close friend I can approach and say, hey, I saw your significant other. Mm-hmm. This is what they were doing, without me getting or having any, like, there being any repercussions
mm-hmm.
on my part. So I would have to think about that first. And if we do have that type of relationship, then yeah, I would say. To my friend who could possibly be a guy or a girl, basically explain to them the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know what's going on and say, hey, I saw them, and I want to know what you think you would do in this situation. What would you, how do you feel?
Right.
Are you angry at me for telling you?
That's not my man.
Yeah. Like, I know everybody has a doppelganger.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. But be like, hey, wake up. I know you love him. But this was truly him because I saw that distinguishing mark.
Matter of fact, you took the picture.
That we all know that he or she has. So you need to wake up and live in reality.
You have to hope they'll receive it.
Yeah, you do. You do. So again, it goes back to, do y'all have that kind of relationship?
Okay, now, Sam, you told me that you did have a catfishing type experience that you wanted everyone to know about. So tell me more about that.
So I tried online dating again. And basically, I met a couple of people. One person, I don't know if he had some type of mental defect or what, but he was a little upset with me.
Child, not mental defect.
Because I work at night, and I on my weekends that I work, I really don't want to talk on the phone. It's go to work, go home, sleep, wake up, go back to work.
Preach.
Exactly. So he got a little upset because I didn't call him. He said he called me and I ignored his calls. And at the time I was going through some issues with my vehicle and I had gotten it fixed. And he made the comment of, oh, I knew you were going to act funny when you got your car fixed. And I explained to him, you know, how my life was when I worked on the weekend by me working at night.
They don't understand.
Exactly. They don't. He really didn't understand. So I believe I met him online. And first of all, I was willing to settle. And that's probably that was a mistake, because when I saw his picture online, he looked like a handsome fellow. He really did. And I kept asking him, why are you not smiling? I am smiling. I was like, can you send me a picture of you smiling? Never sent me a picture. So finally we met and he was actually missing a tooth in the front.
A whole smile tooth, y'all. If you know me, you know how I feel about smile teeth.
But I didn't want to be judgmental. So I was going to settle and I was going to say, oh, he's not so bad, you know. And like when we were conversing through messaging through the app before we exchanged numbers, I really liked what he had to say and how he was expressing himself to me and asking me questions. And I tried to be as honest as I could with him. And but when I met him, I'm like, okay, you weren't honest. I sent you pictures of me smiling. I wasn't missing any teeth.
What did he do? He couldn't afford to get that one tooth. They only cost like $135 to just get a little bloop bloop.
Girl,
to get in there.
He worked for one of the well-known car dealerships, so I'm pretty sure he was making money.
Oh.
But the things that, you know, a lot of red flags, like I went to visit him for the weekend, and the whole time I was there, it was like I would foot the bill for everything. We went out to eat. I paid.
Ooh.
He came down to visit. He came in his car. He paid for gas, but when we came back and he brought me back, I paid for gas.
He wanted a sponsor.
I really believe that's what it was. And I kind of feel a little stupid because of that, but it was a lesson learned. It truly was.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
Here's my feelings on this scenario. It's really hard getting in between, you know, someone you care about, your close friend, and this beautiful love story that they have going on, because a lot of times when people get in these situations, it's something that they wanted for a while and they went through a lot of stuff to get here. So it is hard, like crushing their feelings. It's all about knowing your friend. And in my newer friendships, I kind of like try and touch on that as the friendship is budding. Like, hey, you know, you might be single now, but if I ever see your man or your woman somewhere doing something, or, you know, like, how honest would you want me to be with you? Because some people feel better not knowing. Ignorance is bliss for a lot of people, but y'all better let me know. In this scenario, I feel like the writer, he did a great job in trying to reveal it to his friend. He was very subtle, but yet very head on, and it was up to his friend to see it, because you can bring a horse to the water, but you cannot make it drink. And in a lot of situations where people are like blindly in love, there is nothing you can do. They just have to go through it and see it for themselves, and that is what teaches them for the next situation. Like, hey, if I do this something like this again, you need to slap me and say, wake up, you remember what happened last time. As far as seeing someone that I know is dating any of my friends on any online dating platform, I feel like it's touch and go. Once again, that will be one of those instances where I kind of bring it up gently to them, like, girl, what you want to know? Kind of like if y'all watch Real Housewives of Atlanta, kind of like the complete opposite of what Kenya did last week to Tanya. I would just be like, you know, would you want to know or would you tell me? And that would kind of open up that dialogue about what they would want. And honestly, I just respect their wishes because I want nothing more than to see my friends happy. Even if that happiness comes with a lesson later, if that's what they want, I'm going to give that to them. I am not God. I cannot control their lives. I can't even control my own life. You know what I'm saying? So that's my take on that. But what would y'all do? What would you do if your friend is being catfished? What would you do if you see your friend's significant other on an online dating app? All right, y'all. So here's my catfish story. I went to Best Buy one day and I saw this guy. He worked at Best Buy, had some dreads. He had on his yellow Best Buy collar shirt with some khakis, some brown Sperry's, you know, looking good. Okay. So the first thing I usually notice about a guy is the way he smells. He didn't smell bad, but he didn't have a scent either. So we started texting. We had exchanged numbers and started texting. And it was a bit overwhelming because he was like really interested. And I'm always fussing at myself because I feel like I shy away from people that are really, really interested out of fear that, you know, it might actually work. So I was like, you know, I'm going to give him a chance. It's nice to have someone like super interested for once because, you know, everybody be playing hard to get or like sort of interested, sort of on the fence. You can't really read them. So after a while of texting, FaceTiming, talking on the phone, we decided to meet at the mall. And we were going to meet at the mall. It was around a Christmas time. I don't remember what year. We're going to meet at the mall and then we were going to go out to eat at a seafood restaurant because he knew that I really liked seafood, but he didn't want to tell me what restaurant it was. So I get to the mall. I park by JCPenney's and he says that he's by the main mall entrance. So these parking lots are like far from each other. So I wouldn't have like seen him pull up or anything like that. So I start walking. I tell him where I'm parked and we meet like at the JCPenney entrance. Okay. So I see him. First glance, I'm like, you do not look like how you looked at work. He had on this jacket that was 10 times too big. His pants was really big. His hair was all like just disheveled. Like he literally looked like somebody had slapped him around and said, go meet this girl. So I'm like, okay, you know, I don't know his, you know, financial situation. Let me just give it a chance. So then, like, he kind of stands closer to me, and there's this smell. It's not like, oh, my God, you smell so bad, but it was just kind of like, oh, my God, when's the last time you used some soap? So, you know, like, this is just moment one. I'm noticing all these things. So I try to, you know, like, keep it cool. You know, I committed to this date. We're still going to do this, okay? So we go through the mall, and, like, he's trying to, like, hold my hands. And, like, you know how people will be walking, but you'll be with your man, like, the man that knows you, the man you are with. And he'll, like, kind of, you know, walk behind you with, like, his arms around your shoulder. Yeah, no, don't touch me, you know, because, like, I don't really know you. Especially for you to be, you know, feel comfortable, you know, like being behind me. So I would just kind of like slide from out of it, you know, without like being rude. And honestly, if anybody in the mall looked at me and him together that day, they probably would have been like, that girl is so uncomfortable, someone save her. So we go into a shoe store. He introduces me to his best friend that works in the shoe store. Then we go somewhere else and he introduces me to the best friend's girlfriend. I'm just like, this is just too many people. Like, you know, this is a 3-day trial, you know, or that 1-day, 30-minute trial to see if I even want you in my life. So we go back in the shoe store and he's like, he's going to buy a pair of shoes. And I'm like, okay, cool. But now he's, like, talking. We're actually, like, I'm trying to have conversation. And he's like cursing every other word really loud. Like we're in public. It just wasn't the place. Like it just felt like real inappropriate. Like I was cringing inwardly. So he gets the shoes. We're standing in line. And he then wraps his arms around me again. Like my waist, like from behind me. And I'm just like, you know, like, oh, look at these socks. And it was a long line of people. Like the store was really packed because it was around the holiday times. So people are looking because you're talking. Every other word is a curse word. You're like touching me and I'm like swerving. You know, like I was really hitting a whoa before the whoa was a whoa. So we get up to the register. It's his turn. And so he starts digging in his pockets. Oh, I forgot my wallet. I forgot my... And I'm, like, looking around, you know. I have this look that I call looking into the camera as if, like, my life is being recorded and I got to look into the camera. Like, do you see this? So, at that point, I look into the camera because I'm not buying his shoes. So, luckily, he has an iPhone with Apple Pay or whatever. So, he uses that, but he's, like, really loud, cursing. I'm just uncomfortable at this point. And he buys the shoes, and then I have to go and get a gift from, I think it's, like, the Finish Line store that has, like, the clothes. And I wanted to get my uncle a Pittsburgh Steelers something, paraphernalia. I remember that. So we go into that store, and mind you, I know that I have an ex that works in this mall. Just not this store, like a far, far side of the mall. So apparently, y'all, he now works in this store that I go into. And so when we first walk in, you know, the people are like, hey, how are y'all? And I don't think he notices me. But the guy is like so loud, just so simple. He's like, yeah, we need some help. We need some help. And I'm just like, no, we don't. Because, you know, I done peeped out that this dude is in here. And I'm just like, you know, it's okay. I don't want to buy anything out of here. You know, like, I'm trying to get us out this store because I don't want my ex to think, like, she went from me to this. Because it really was like a this at this point. I was just so ready to be, like, done with it. I'm texting my mom and my brother. They're, like, my best friends. I'm texting them, like, this is not going well. I may need to abort the mission. I may need, you know, that phone call. Like, girl, you need to be home. You know, like, something. So my ex comes over to us and he's like, oh, hey, you know, like he didn't see me when I know he saw me. And he looks like he's trying to stifle a laugh. So I just like, yeah, I need this. And the guy is just talking. And at this point, I'm not hearing him. My anxiety is flaring up. You know, it's just like the room is spinning and I just buy whatever it was. I don't even remember what I ended up getting my uncle. I just buy it. And I'm like, we got to get out of here. So we are going down the escalator and my brother calls me and he's like, you need to come home. You need to come home. Our grandfather fell down the stairs. Mind you, my grandfather is dead. He definitely taught me not to lie on anyone that is alive because it will happen. So we're at this point relying on my dead grandpa about falling down the stairs. And I'm like, look, you know, my papa, he's old. He's in his 80s. I gotta go. He done fell down the stairs. You know, I'm in nursing school. I need to be there for him or whatever. So y'all know what this dude say? Okay, cool. But can you give me a ride home? And I start looking around and I'm like, all right, home? How did you get here? He was like, yeah, I took an Uber. And mind you, he lives like on the other side of town. Like if there is an east, I'm not gonna say where we were, but it was the east. And he lived on the west, okay? So, clearly, if I'm trying to get to my fallen dead grandpa, I'm not trying to bring you home. And honestly, there is nothing wrong with not having a vehicle. You know, I understand. Things happen. But the fact that you thought I was just going to drive us around on this date and didn't even tell me, like, it was just unbeknownst to me. So, I was like, no, you know, being that I live, you know, my parents' house is a good 45 minutes away. I need to be on the road like yesterday. So you gonna have to call another Uber. So as I get into my car, I literally run out of there like, freedom. That is what I was thinking in my head. So I get into my car and I just block him on all social media and block his number because I just cannot. Like, he was just not what I expected at all. And it just goes to show how well people clean up for work. And I mean, you may not consider it a catfish, but it's a catfish to me because it just was not, it was not what it was supposed to be. It's not what it appeared to be. One of these things were not like the other. Okay? All right, guys, so that wraps up this episode. Make sure you guys are telling your friends about this podcast. I appreciate everyone for listening. We definitely need more listeners. I also need you guys to engage with me. It's like I'm talking to myself. I want to hear from you guys. I want you guys to join the discussion. I'm thinking about making a Facebook page, just like the Instagram page, so people with Facebook can also join the discussions. But I do need a little bit more interaction from y'all before I can go forward with that. And until next week, y'all have a good one.